Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to our third session on My Strong Spirit. And again, I hope you're confessing that, as we talked about in the very first session, the fact that you do have a strong spirit, whether you feel like it or not. We just need to declare what God says about us over ourselves. Today, we're going to get into our spirit needs strengthening if, and then we got some blanks we're going to fill in, about seven of them. So I think you'll be fed today. But I really want to say this up front. I don't want you focusing on the negative today. We're going to talk about, as we go through this, our spirits need strengthening if, some characteristics of it, a couple of scriptures that support why we don't want it, and then some scriptures that tell us what God promises us concerning that matter. So let's just jump right in today. And last week we talked about my strong spirit will, and we listed some things that it would do for us. We have been anchored, however, in Proverbs 18:14, and we're actually going to read this once again later. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. And this is from the Amplified Classic. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So the words there, sustain, or some translations say endure, really means to seize, to get control of. So a strong spirit will help us keep control of our emotions, the strengths that we have in Jesus, as we are made in His image and feed upon what He's done for us. And so we looked at a number of different things. The first one we said that a strong spirit would do was to protect your heart. And let me read you just some phrases out of Psalm 112, verses 6 through 8. This is what a strong spirit will do. He will never be shaken. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast. He trusts in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear, until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. And so you see, strong spirit really positions us, it protects us, but it positions us to really be moving and be an overcomer. But let me just make a couple of key statements here. Fear can't stop you when you've got a strong spirit. Discouragement won't move you or sway you or knock you off the foundation. And I think this is something I see as increasingly important, offense, you'll be kept from it. You won't be easily offended. You're actually going to see some of that today. And with that protection, then, you can withstand all the pressure of the evil one. Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. 47 just says this, "Everyone who comes to me," Jesus is talking, and he says, "and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you who he's like." And then he talks about two things. A man who builds his house on sand and collapses. That's somebody who doesn't hear and act. Both required. But verse 48 talks about the one who does. And it says that man will build on a solid foundation. And the house will be well built. And it will be sustained when the winds or water comes against it. James tells us in James 1 verses 2 through 4. That when these trials and tests come to us, the pressures of the evil one comes to us. He says we ought to count it all joy or consider it all joy when we have these various trials, knowing this, that the testing of our faith produces endurance or patience. And endurance or patience, we need to let it have its perfect work or result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So this strong spirit, we can withstand that pressure and we can push it back so that it has no impact on us. A strong spirit will also help us resist temptation. Now, Ezekiel 16:30 that we looked at is about not staying true to God. And he likens it to a brazen prostitute. And we talked about some of that last time. But really, the bottom line is when we're not staying true to God, it produces a sick heart. The word there literally means weak. And so it kind of go back to the way we thought about the house falling. Proverbs 16:20 says this, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. So what's this telling us? A strong heart is essential. It's much more important in withstanding the enemy than any physical traits. In fact, I'll just be blunt and say, you can't do that purely from your own being, your earthly being, this earth suit that we live in, or our soul. We can't do those things. We also saw that a strong spirit will help us receive and hold on to what God has promised. We saw in Galatians where it tells us that we're not to lose heart and grow weary and faint. And so, again, that's what a strong spirit or a weak spirit will cause. One translation talks about really just grasping and not letting go of that which is important to us. And then finally, a strong spirit will, to help others, will position us to help others develop a strong spirit. And we saw in Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, and I want to read this one because I'm seeing an increased importance in this for us in these days. New Living Translation. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. So those are the attributes that we saw are the results of what a strong spirit can produce. And the Lord needs us to have one so that we can produce those things in this life today. But today we're going to give some characteristics of what a spirit that is not strong looks like. But because I didn't want to focus on just elements that we say we're not strong, the way that the Lord gave me this title is our spirit needs strengthening if. So again, I don't want you thinking about the negative part of it. I want you to really focus on, okay, I see what it says about this, and then this is the encouragement I have that I don't have to be that way. And then next week, we'll do just the opposite. We'll see the characteristics of a strong spirit. What we all can have. So we got seven things today. The format as I go through each of the seven is going to be kind of similar, as you'll see. The first one is complacency and slothfulness. So our spirit might need strengthening if we're complacent or if we find ourselves being slothful. Now, in earlier sessions, we noted that both of these conditions are heart conditions. And so what are some of the traits of this condition? Double-mindedness is one. Indifference, even indecisiveness, and also we know it's putting things off, just not ever getting complete with what the Lord's told us to do. Now, some verses that support that. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and then here's the line on this topic, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. It's pretty blunt. If we, and this is in Proverbs 1:32, if we are not paying attention and we let our spirit get weak, then these are things that can come up and you see the results are not positive. Zephaniah 1:12 in the English Standard Version, the Lord is talking about searching Jerusalem with some lamps and he says, I will punish the men who are complacent. And so there's nothing positive that's going to come from that. Now, the Lord deals with us differently. Don't get hung up on the punish the man. That's not how he deals with us anymore. Jesus took that punishment, so we don't have to. But we see the heart of God in this. Complacency is, or slothfulness is something that will hurt us. So what does God say about it? He says this in Proverbs 10:4. Poor is the one who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Now, as I went through some of these, I begin to see a lot of these tie to diligence, and I think it was the wisdom of God that I didn't have at that time. I didn't see the linkage to go through that study on diligence that we went through before we got into this. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor." So again, staying diligent, having the opportunity to overcome this complacency or the slothfulness that can develop when we don't attend to our spirit, this is what it'll let us do. It'll let us be diligent and we will rule. And when we do that, then Romans 4:20 and 21 really yields this. It says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. So now you can see the impact of having a strong spirit. But he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what was happening as he did, he was being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So the stronger in heart we become, we will see increased boldness, confidence, and I would say this, decisiveness. We make a decision, we won't waver on it. The second thing that indicates our heart or our spirit might need strengthening is the fact that I am me-focused. Or let me say that differently, self-focused. Or even being more blunt, everything's all about me. Now, traits of this, I think if you really think about it, are pretty obvious. Pride. Now, the first one, that's a biggie. The second one, though, is a little more subtle. And that might be, too, if we're too much me-focused, I think that can cause us to have less compassion toward others. And the other thing that I think this produces is that we see everything that happens as somebody else's fault or someone's responsibility. In other words, we don't take any account or hold ourselves responsible for anything. And finally, you become very feelings-driven and you have a victim mentality. Now, being very blunt, and most of you who attend this, I know there's a handful that I don't that have been with us for a while, but let me say this. People who have these traits, they don't attract people to them. They really push people away. And so it feeds on itself and it just gets worse. James 1:6 is very blunt, first part that we have seen before. It just simply says, God is opposed to the proud. That's just the way it is. Now, we know that this ends up hurting us because it goes on to say, he gives grace to the humble. So if it's all about me and it's pride-driven, then what do we know? That we're not in a position to receive all that God wants us to. Again, all about me. Philippians warns us and tells us, and really and truly, this is just something that Mama probably told us all. These are just good things to know about living life in general. But now you got a scriptural basis for that. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Now, this does not say that you're not to see yourself as unimportant. In fact, verse 4 goes on and says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also. So if he's saying, don't look out after your own personal interests, but also, then that says we are supposed to have and take account of our personal interests. But we're also supposed to do it, finish the verse here, for the interest of others. So again, it's not just focusing on me. It's looking at the big picture. And the big picture for us is we're here for the purpose of reconciliation of the world to Jesus. So what does God say about this one? He says, we who are strong, Romans 15:1, ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. You know, it's easy to read over a lot of these verses when we're just reading our Bible, hopefully daily, because we just go through them. But when you really focus on some of this, you begin to see how much more important it really is. Luke 22, verse 32, comes back to a verse we read last week. Jesus, talking to Peter, says, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you've turned again, once you've gotten your spirit strong again, to strengthen your brothers. And isn't this amazing? This just keeps coming up on my heart during these weeks that we've been teaching this. Because too much of it, we think of, I want to get a strong spirit just so I can receive everything and hold on to it. But it's so we can receive it, we can enjoy it, we can have it, we can live in it and from it. but it's really all about helping others. So I would say this, a strong spirit, in contrast to the weak, desires to reach out to other people and helps us serve as a servant would serve as master, just like Jesus did. Now, how we serve others really is an indication of how we're serving our Jesus. The third one, and this one is, and we've all probably gone through periods of it. Hopefully we don't stay there, but it's just feeling hopeless. And this may describe a person who has no joy. They just are ready to quit and give up. Why? Because they're always living discouraged, and I would use the word frustrated, because to me, when you get really frustrated, it's an indication that we're losing hope. So what scriptures talk about this? Well, Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Now, when we read that verse, and a lot of teaching on this verse, and I think there are two elements here, because I'm saying both are correct. We think of this a lot of times as hope deferred, meaning something I'm really, really hoping for, but it never comes. And I can understand that, because time tries faith. But if we are truly hoping and are in faith, then we ought to begin to see ourselves that we've already received it. So the other thing that I think this can mean is that there are times when we say, "I have hope," when really we don't. We just want it real bad, or we may even need it real bad. But because we're focused, and you see the emphasis on the words there, need, wanting it or needing it, the lack of having it is what really our focus goes to, and we lose hope or we never develop it. Now, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's what we just read. And so I want you to see that this is something that if we have this strong spirit, what does it say? It helps us receive and hold on to. So don't let go of hope. Hope is so important. And your hope is in a person. If your hope is in getting a thing, then our hope is based on the wrong element. Our hope is in Jesus. Proverbs 15:13 also says that when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Now, we saw a verse earlier that said, a broken or weak spirit, who can bear it? And we can't. And again, we've all experienced this. We've all go through some things that have shaken us to the core. But we can go from a place where our heart is sad and not producing like it ought to this. And this is what God says, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very blunt. We abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by just having a strong will or being hard-headed about something. It's this hope is something we receive from the Word as we're fed, and the Spirit deposits a revelation of it inside us. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, reads this way, "For it is for this we labor and strive." So Paul is saying, this is the reason I'm doing this, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, on Jesus, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. So we fixed our hope on the Lord versus putting our trust in what? Well, some might say in horses and in chariots, in the physical things of this earth. Now, that's not saying we won't use some of that, but what is the grounding that we have? The stronger our heart gets, then I believe the strength of that heart, where it's not broken, we're living with all joy and peace in believing, then the more we're going to be overcomers, or I would say it this way, more than conquerors. So let's look at another one. I think in a characteristic of a that our spirit needs strengthening is that fear grips us or we're fearful. And so I would say this simply, a life full of dread, worry, anxiety, and if we tend that way, then a lot of times we end up being one who, when something happens, we're always in a panic. We just go from one crisis to another. Job 3, verse 25. For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. 2 points here. What I dread befalls me. Now we think of dread, well, that's not really bad. Like I dread going to the dentist. But that dread, going to a dentist, if that's all we focus on, knowing what's going to happen and we get just locked in on it, then that will turn to fear. And it neither dread nor fear is good. But do you see what it's saying here? Particularly if we're talking fear, because what are our words? They're seeds for what we're going to reap in the future. And we don't think that sometime when we read this verse. What I fear comes upon me and what I dread befalls me. So it's like we are planting our future with our words if we're speaking fear. The New Living Translation of Job 4:5 reads this way. When trouble strikes, you lose heart. And then it says, you are terrified when it touches you. Now, take this verse and then begin to reconcile it with saying, in the world, Jesus said, you're going to have some things come against you. But we know what? It's coming against us for the word's sake. It's coming from our enemy, trying to knock us off. And so if we end up being fearful all the time, when trouble comes, immediately we lose heart. We may think we've had a strengthened heart, but that trouble just kind of knocks us off of that pedestal. And then it says, anytime it touches us, we get terrified. And so that's the what? Always in a panic that we talked about earlier. But what does God say on this matter? Well, he says a lot about fear. Two verses that I'll just give you for today. 1 Peter 5:7 from the New Living Translation. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares about you. Now that last phrase, for he cares about you, one translation says, for it matters to him. I really like that. Give your worries to Jesus. Give your worries to the Father. Let him take it. Why? Because it matters to him. He doesn't want you to carry that around. And then we all know 2 Timothy 1:7. Again, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, but of love. And this translation says, of self-discipline. Literally, you know, we say, quoting New King James and even King James, and a sound mind. But literally, that word indicates a disciplined mind. A mind that is, because your spirit is strong, and it disciplines your being so that when these things come, we don't react. We can just flick it off. We don't harbor and contemplate all that could go wrong. We just look at all the good that God has promised us. So I think it's clear. The stronger we are, the more fearless we will live. Now, I'm just be blunt. I cannot be fearful and full of faith at the same time. Now, I can have doubts in my mind. But if that turns to fear in me, then that's going to be in direct opposition to me trying to be in faith. I see is it one or the other. The next one that I want to do, number 5, is if you're going, having a lot of these things, if you're fearful and if you're always in a panic, then what you're going to find is you may be exhausted. Or I would say it this way, always worn out. It's like we're just too tired and worn down, or beat down might be a good way to say it, to fight the good fight of faith. We're too beat down to even stand strong in faith. And thus we have what? Nobility to resist the enemy. So that's the way we're left. And I want to mention just here, but this doesn't, resisting the enemy doesn't start with us trying to stand against him. Resisting the enemy starts when we are submitted to God's word and we've developed a strong spirit. Let me give you two scriptures. The one we read first today, Proverbs 18, the 14, the last part of that verse says, a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up? In other words, how can we strengthen that in and of ourselves, strengthen ourselves when we don't have a strong spirit to do it? Or it says, who can bear it? Meaning what? That will take you down. Romans 7:15 describes how I think we often feel when we go through this cycle and we let things begin to take us down. Remember Paul said, for I don't understand, this is in the Amplified Version, for I don't understand my own actions. I'm baffled. I'm bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish that which I wish to do, but I do everything that I don't want to do, and I think this is important, my moral instincts condemns. And so then we just work ourselves into just a downward spiral. If we get to this point of always being exhausted, we can't do a thing to pull ourselves back up, except Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, come to me. Go back to what we talked about in the previous one. How do we resist the enemy when fear comes against us? It starts by going to Jesus, submitting to him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, weary and heavy laden there really, really beat down to where you just can't seem to hold your head up. And then he tells us, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And don't forget this phrase. This is where we're striving to get to. You shall find rest for your souls. Faith is from a position of rest. It's from a position of assurance, from peace, knowing that we are right with God. 2 Corinthians 4:1 in the Amplified says, therefore, since we do not hold and engage in this ministry by the mercy of God, in other words, him granting us favor, benefits, opportunities, including salvation, we do not get discouraged. So we do hold and engage in this ministry by the mercy of God. We do not get discouraged. And look how it defines discouraged. Spiritless. How about a weak heart? Despondent. And what caused that despondent? Well, what wears us out? That fear that we had earlier. Or we become faint with weariness and exhaustion. And you can just see the progression here. So, saints, a strong heart really does position us to take or receive from God and to hold fast to all he's promised. Two more, and these are a little shorter. I'm only going to use one verse in each of these. But it says this, we are overcome by little things, and we end up making mountains out of a molehill. Now, how would you describe that? I called it, we're overwhelmed. Something little comes up, we're tended to let fear grip us. If we're worn out, then we're just all the time being overwhelmed. Now, this verse in Proverbs 24:10 is really blunt. No condemnation. Remember, we're just seeing how I might have reacted one time, and now I'm going to focus on what God says I can do. And this will be particularly encouraging next week, I believe. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength, talking about a strong spirit, is small. The Message translation, it says it extremely bluntly. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Don't be condemned. Why? But God says, look at this one. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth, the psalmist says, I'm going to cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, when I feel like everything just looks 10 times bigger than it really is. When I'm in that condition, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So what is that saying? When those evil or bad situations rise up and the circumstances just feel, we just feel like they're just being piled on and piled on to us, the first thing we must do is look back to Jesus. This is the only solution to get out from under being overwhelmed. The last one, and this one I want you to really think about, is having what I term a short fuse. This might include us being easily offended, or maybe it's just allowing the very little things to bother us more than they should. And if this happens, if these things begin to happen, then it can lead to anger and rage, which we are warned to stay away from. Proverbs 14:17 is very straightforward. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. So we don't want to be quick to let our temper take control. And what does God say about it? He who is slow to anger. So if he's saying that we can be slow to anger, if he's saying these words, then we know we can be that. There's a better way for me to say that. He is slow to anger is better than the mighty, talking about those who are strong in their flesh. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, we saw this verse in recent weeks, but it really depicts, and I think today we see more clearly what it's saying here, that we can have some physical strength, we can have some hard-headedness or determination, but this says if we're slow to anger, then what's happening? We're ruling our spirit, where we're ruling our actions by controlling our spirit. If our spirit man is not in control, it's very doubtful that our flesh will be. But if our spirit man is the one who should be in control and is in control, then we can rule over our flesh and our soul. Now, I know we've gone through these fairly quickly, but you've got all the scriptures, and just think about them. Don't focus on the negative elements here, but lean into and really focus on how God says, what God says about us. How God teaches us what we can be. We're working to become what He says we can be. We're not going to be dragged down to these things that we've seen today that are characteristics of a weak spirit. Why? Because we are going to develop and strengthen our spirit. Now, we love you guys, and next week again, we'll be talking about characteristics that we see in a strong spirit. And my honest expectation is you may have picked out a couple of things today, but I'm trusting that you're going to see things as we talk about next week that you're already doing. But we want to do what? We want to strengthen them even more and more so that we're able to serve Him in whatever He calls us to. Thank you for being with us today. And again, I would just urge you, don't start identifying yourself as a failure just because you might have seen a time or two you've acted in one of these ways. See yourself becoming what God says we can be as we strengthen our spirit. Thanks for being with us today.